be a blessing today to bring everybody some clarity is, what is the gospel? That's the title of my message. Now, most people do not know what the gospel is. And anybody that's been a Christian for any period of time, if you just interact with people trying to share your faith, that is going to come across very obviously to you. Now, I'm going to give you an example of just, and of course, now these people are in a cult, and it's very unfortunate. I'm referring to some Jehovah Witnesses, but a couple of weeks ago, they came to my front door. And I'm going to tell you something, they got the nicest car and the nicest clothes. I don't have anything anywhere near as nice as what they're wearing or driving. And they come up, and what I used to do when these people used to come, I used to take their literature, because sometimes I ran out of newspaper for the birdcage, okay? So I would use that stuff for the birdcage. And my real thing of taking it was, I figure if I take some of their stuff, that will stop them from giving it to someone else. But then I've come to a realization they've got a trunk filled with stuff, Awake magazine and whatever that other one's called, and they have those in there. So the man comes up to me, you know, and they start, you know, hi, we're here today. I'm so-and-so, and this is my wife. Wonderful. I'm Mark. We'd like to share something with you. Okay? Then they, whatever their spiel is at that moment. And so I let him do his thing, and when he gets done, you know, I said, are you a Christian? I said to him. He said, of course I am. That's why I'm here. I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, if you were to die tonight, what would happen to you? And he goes, well, I would go to heaven. Now, this is the answer most people are going to give you. And I said, well, what do you base that on? I interrupted him. I said, tell you what, can you tell me where the gospel is in the Bible? Where would you turn in your Bible to present the gospel to me as a lost sinner on the way to hell? And he's just standing there looking at me, and his response was, well, what do you mean? He goes, the whole Bible is good news. And I said, well, first of all, that's wrong. The whole Bible is not good news. The Bible is replete with bad news and good news, okay? And in all honesty, a lot of the Bible has to do with bad news. There's a lot of it because Israel constantly was getting in trouble, being judged by God, then he'd bring them back, and it's just replete with that. It's replete where God had to wipe out the world because of sin, and he left Noah and the boys on dry land at the end of it. Most people don't know the gospel or where to find it. They are doing some kind of a mixture of works, tradition, and I cannot emphasize this enough. They are relying on a baby water baptism to get them into heaven. I can tell you right now, Lutherans, and I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just trying to share, get some clarity as to what the gospel is. Catholics and Lutherans and people that go to Church of Christ, sometimes they have a term, they call them Campbellites, I guess. And that is used, they rely upon the water baptism. Here's an example. At Christmas time last year, I'm at my brother-in-law's house, and my father-in-law is sitting in there, and my sister-in-law is there, and I'm sad at the moment because I know my dad, we were in St. Louis. My dad is home, and my dad's not saved. He's not a Christian. So I'm saying to them, you know, I'm just distraught because, my dad's not a Christian. And I just, you know, I've tried everything. I've shared the gospel with them. I begged, pleaded. And, you know, my mom died last summer. And every time I used to come by, my mom would say, Mark, don't you dare bother your father with that Bible stuff. Well, I don't know whether my mother went to heaven or not. She said she placed her faith in Christ. Only God knows the heart. So we have to just wait and see, I guess. But Vern, who is my father-in-law, he goes, Mark, what's the problem? And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, look, just tell him to go to church, get water baptized, and then that's the end of the message. Now, this is a man that, he's from a Lutheran background, Missouri Synod, and the daughter, sister-in-law, she's from a Catholic background, and they're both very serious about both of their individual faiths. And they both concur about this water baptism. And I sat there and I said, okay, Mark, what are you going to do? And I said, okay, if I start up, I'm going to alienate everybody and I'm going to ruin Christmas. Seriously, I was going to ruin Christmas. So I said, this time I better not say anything. And my wife agreed. But the point is, do you see water baptism as a baby? They didn't place their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They weren't relying on the finished work of the cross. They're relying on a water ceremony. Now, what is the gospel? Where is the gospel? Here's what we're going to do first. I like to use the Bible to define words, okay? So I'm going to ask everybody, okay, first of all, a person's perception as to whether they believe there's one gospel, two gospels, many gospels, it depends on their definition and understanding of the word gospel. So if you would, with me, we're going to get two passages, Isaiah 61 in one hand and Luke chapter 4 in another. Isaiah 61, and after that we're going to get Luke chapter 4. And what we're going to do is we're going to give a definition of the word gospel. Okay? Now, Luke chapter 4 is in the New Testament, the so-called New Testament that they call it here. It's really part of the Old Testament. But they are going to say what was said in Isaiah. So Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Okay, the key thing that you want to see here is to preach good tidings. Good news, okay? So now let's flip over to Luke, and let's look at Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Did you notice that there's a word that's different there? He says to preach the gospel in Luke chapter 4, but back in Isaiah, it said to preach good tidings or good news. So the term gospel simply means good tidings, glad tidings, good news. So there's lots of good news in the Bible, but there's also bad news in the Bible. And it is absolutely amazing when you talk to people and they say, well, the gospel, they try to take everything in the Bible and put it into one pot of good news. They want to say from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole thing is the gospel. Everything is the gospel. Brothers and sisters, that's simply not true. The Bible does not teach the one gospel theory. You know who does? Theologians and people in seminary teach the one gospel theory. God has revealed different messages of good news. See, God never changes. He's the same yesterday and today. But God is the same. But did he not deal with mankind differently at different times? Amen? Okay, so we're going to examine some of the good news. We need to realize that things that are different are not the same. Do you know people will give an amen to that and then they pay no attention to that statement? Things that are different are not the same. Now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And keep that in one hand and get Galatians chapter 3 in another hand. So we're going to go to Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Genesis 15 and Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Okay. All right. Now, Genesis 15, and we're going to start in verse 5. Well, we'll start in verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he, meaning Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Okay? So keep your hand there, and then just flip over to Galatians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now verse 8, here's the verse. And the scripture, foreseeing God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Did you see that? That what happened in Genesis was good news to Abraham. It was the gospel preached unto Abraham, Galatians 3 tells us. So we've now seen a gospel. But can I share this with you? This is not the gospel of the grace of God. This also is not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel unto Abraham is what, brothers and sisters? The Abrahamic covenant. This is good news to Abraham. In these shall all the nations be blessed. That is good news to him. Now, the doctrine of justification by faith sounds right. Now, please listen to me carefully. But further examination proves the conclusion is false. Now, follow me. The doctrine of justification by faith is not the gospel message. Doctrine of justification is not, by faith, is not the gospel message. It's a result of the gospel or good news being believed by the individual. It is revealed by God through His Spirit and His Word. Okay? Justification is one of the works of God that takes place when? When does that take place? The moment of salvation. The moment that you get saved. Do we tell people to get justified when we witness to them? No. What do we tell them? We tell them they need to get saved. When the Philippian jailer came out and he said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What a question. But then, what an answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, as Peter said in Acts 2:38, did he say, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin? Brother, you can repent all you want, and you can be water baptized all you want, and you are going to be unsaved unless you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have placed your faith in the substitutionary atonement and what he did on the cross as the payment for our sins. We don't tell people to be justified. We tell them they must be saved. Here's an example. Gospel means good news. So, but there's bad news in the Bible too. What's some examples of bad news? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says the Antichrist is going to be sitting in the temple at Jerusalem. Is that good news? No. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us that you turn a fellow over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I don't think that's good news. Matthew 25:41 says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Is that good news? No. That should bring you to a point where you realize, my gosh, I got to have a change of mind. By the way, repentance does not mean to turn. It means a change of mind, okay, about who God is, and what your relationship is to Him. And when you realize He's a holy God and sinners cannot come into His presence, you make a decision, say, wait a minute, I'm a sinner, I'm on my way to hell. What must I do to be saved? Once you come to that point where you realize you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell, you've already repented because you've changed your mind about what the Bible says about who God is and what your relationship is to Him. And now you say, you don't say, like they said in Acts chapter 2, what do we do? We say, what must we do to be saved? And the answer is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when we were headed for hell, someone paid the full debt to God for our sins. And He lives to secure our salvation before God forever and ever. If you would now, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So what is the gospel? Where do we find the gospel in the Bible? Why do we need to know the gospel? What's the big deal about the gospel? Why do I need to have the gospel right? When John came on the scene, he preached what? What did John preach? Did he say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? No. John preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Mark chapter 1, verse 4 tells us this very clearly. And you know what's amazing about that? One of the biggest denominations in the world is Baptist, and they've named their denomination after a man who knew nothing about the cross. He knew nothing about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And the man was executed because some dancing girl wanted his head on a platter. And Jesus himself said that John, I'm paraphrasing, he's one of the most important men that ever lived. And they name their New Testament church, is what they call it, after John the Baptist. And he had no idea what it meant for New Testament salvation. It's just unbelievable. All right, now Romans chapter 1. We're going to say, let's start in 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but I was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now, look what Paul says. First, he doesn't want you to be ignorant. And then in verse 15, he says, As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Why is Paul ready to preach the gospel? What's the big deal? 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why is Paul not afraid to preach the gospel? Why does he feel as much as is in him is? Because it says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So if the gospel is the power of God to save you from hell, to get you right with God, don't you want to know what that gospel is? I know I did at one point, and I'm sure most of you, if you're Christians, did as what you. Hey, wait a minute. I don't want to go to hell. Do you want to know something? The number one reason I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. I could not even imagine being resurrected to damnation forever and standing there on fire in some pool of fire. Just I said, I don't want that. I don't want it. What must I do to be saved? And I kid you not, I had tears coming down my face, and I prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, I'm a sinner, please save me. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm just going to rely on what Christ did on the cross, and then I'm saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, not by any works that I could possibly do. Believing is not a work. So, if the gospel was the power of God unto salvation, And Paul says, as much as is in me is, look what chapter 2 of Romans says. And this is important, why you have to have the gospel right. This is important. Verse 16 says in chapter 2 of Romans, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to what? My gospel. Well, wait a minute. Paul says it's going to be judged by Christ according to the good news that was preached by the Apostle Paul, which is part of the revelation of the mystery, which has always been kept hidden, but was then revealed to Paul after Acts chapter 9. And you've got to have clarity to this. You must have clarity. Peter, when he was at Pentecost, and he stood up there with all those Jews there, when they said, what must we do? Now, I want you to think about something. Pentecost was about this. Pentecost was where Peter preached a murder indictment. Amen? That was a murder indictment. Was he glorying in the cross, Galatians 6:14? No, brothers and sisters, he was not. Well, how did Peter preach the cross? As bad news. But Paul preaches the cross as good news. He preaches it as people are going to be judged by this. Remember what he said in 2 Corinthians 5? Vern mentioned this last week. He said, the love of Christ constraineth me, but he also said, slipping my tongue here, we know the terror of the Lord. We know that there's going to be judgment and damnation. So if you love fellow humankind, because someone reached out and gave you the good news, shouldn't you reciprocate and do that too? Because we're ambassadors for Christ. Are we not ministers of reconciliation? Now, when Christ was on earth, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He preached exclusively to the Jews. He told his disciples constantly, do not go the way of the Gentiles, only go to the house of Israel. He said, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel of the kingdom was to be preached. And you know what followed the gospel of the kingdom? Signs, wonders, and the baptism of repentance, which meant that they all were getting baptized in the water. Now, I want to share this with you. Now, let's think about something. You go into many Bible churches, you go into a Methodist church, you go into especially a Baptist church, and they are going to tell you that after you become a Christian, the first act of obedience is what? Water baptism. Now, what do they tell you that water baptism is supposed to do? Excuse me. They tell you that it's supposed to picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Amen? Now, that's interesting. Does it? Does a tank of water and the man who has the waders on in the water, I'm sure that, you know, he's a very nice person and he thinks he's doing the right thing. Does that picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection? The answer is no. Because when Christ sent out his disciples, and they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Did Christ die yet? No. So if Christ didn't die, and the couple of times that Christ mentioned the death, the burial, and resurrection that was to come in the future, what happened? None of them understood, and it was hid from them. Now, it's critical that you get this. If the 12 apostles did not understand the gospel of the grace of God, which is Acts 20:24, if they did not understand that the death, the burial, and the resurrection is what needs to be believed on, 1 Corinthians 15, which is where we're going next, then what were they preaching? They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When the 12 apostles were out there, what they were preaching was this. You've got Christ, fully God, fully man, walking around on earth, okay? And what he is doing is he's telling them, the Messiah is here. You need to do a baptism of repentance so that you can identify with your King and your Messiah. That is what is being preached and proclaimed. And people are being, the 12 apostles were endued as you know, God could perform miracles anytime he wants, but God allowed them to be empowered with that, where they were doing signs, wonders, and healing people. That's not part of our commission. That's not part of the gospel. That's not part of the revelation of the mystery. You see, the gospel of the grace of God is intricately woven with the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery. You say, what is the revelation of the mystery? The revelation of mystery is, first of all, it's a parenthetical point in time. Okay? If you were to take that out and take Paul's epistles out, everything would have been the same. Everything would have just been going just the way it was under prophecy. But then there's mystery. We are the parentheses there. So, the revelation of the mystery is a body of doctrine given by the Lord Jesus Christ personally to the Apostle Paul first. Paul was the first one to receive that, and he's the one that made it known unto the other apostles and prophets of that time. Okay? It wasn't just made known. It's not the same gospel and the same material that's going through the Bible. It was different. It was different. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that it was hid, because if the princes of this world would have known what was going to occur on the cross, the efficacious payment for sin on the cross, what would they not have done? They wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan would have known. This was the biggest trump card ever played in life. Satan lost. God won, which we knew he would, but because God won, guess what? We win. We win. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at the gospel today that saves. Let's see what that gospel is. You're going to talk to people that will never take you to 1 Corinthians. You know what? Hold your hand. I want to see you. You want to know where the Jehovah Witness took me? I want to show you. Keep your hand in 1 Corinthians 15 and turn over to Matthew 24 for a moment. I want you to see where he told me to go. Now, it was ironic. After he showed me in Matthew 24, do you know, here's what he said to me. He goes, how can you turn those Bible pages so fast? He goes, can you slow down so I can keep up with you? Now, I've got a man who's supposedly coming to my door to witness to me and stuff. He did not know where 1 Corinthians was. He didn't know. I said, okay, find Romans. You know, it's going to be the one after Romans and stuff. And I said, you don't know where the gospel is? You don't know where 1 Corinthians is, and you're coming to my front door? I said, man, I'm going to have to pray for you. All right, so Matthew 24, and okay, let's look at verse 14 first. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. By the way, we're talking tribulation here. We're talking the end of the tribulation. Okay, look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Brothers and sisters, this is what Peter was preaching on Pentecost. This was Joel chapter 2. This is not the beginning of the church. This was the beginning of the last days of Israel, which Peter was talking about on Pentecost. Now, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This is Christ coming back. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And great glory. Where am I at here? I lost my place here. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. I lost my place here. Coming in great power. Well, okay. I've lost where I was looking for. I apologize for that. But the bottom line is that in Matthew 24, somewhere it says, this gospel shall be preached. And it's talking about the gospel of the kingdom, and I know it's right in front of me, but for some reason I'm drawing a blank here right now. So have patience with me. I'm sorry about that. But that's where he took me. That was the gospel that he took me, the gospel of the kingdom. And it's going to be preached until the end shall... Actually, I did give that to you because that was 13. Okay, all right. All right. So, not as dumb as I thought I was. Anyhow, 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. Now, this is all critical as we read this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Okay, there's the gospel is being declared, the gospel by which you are saved, the power of God unto salvation. It's also what? The one that you're going to be judged by. He says, which I preached unto you, and ye have received, and wherein you stand. It's been preached, they've received it, and it's this gospel that we as Christians, members of the body of Christ, stand. We stand in this gospel. And then look at what verse 2 says, by which also you are saved. Hey, I want to know what this gospel is, don't you? He's saying this is how you're going to get saved. He says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, here's the gospel right now. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Brothers and sisters, that is the gospel. Now, the gospel has five parts to it. Let's look at what they are. And the five parts, baptism is never connected with it. There is no baptism connected with the gospel of the grace of God. Well, there is, but that's 1 Corinthians 12:13. We are, you know, but that's spirit baptism. I'm talking about water here. The gospel is this. Okay, number one, here's the first one. How that Christ died for our sins. That's one point. Second point, according to the Scriptures. Third point, and that He was buried. The next point, and that He rose again the third day. And the last one is according to the Scriptures again. That's 5 points. That's 5 points that we need to keep in mind. Now, Paul says it twice, according to the Scriptures. Now, it's amazing that if you went to a Catholic church, they're going to deny the death of Christ as solely efficacious for our sins. So they're going to add good works. They're going to replace the one sacrifice of our Lord on the cross for the Mass, where He's constantly being crucified every single time, again and again and again. The Catholic does not believe what? According to the Scriptures. Doesn't believe it. See, Israel was concerned with national salvation. The gospel of the grace of God is concerned with individual salvation. Individual. Israel was a theocracy. We are concerned with a personal relationship with a personal and living Savior and God. I'm depending on the blood of Jesus Christ to take away my sins. Amen? Here's the difference between the two thieves on the cross. Remember the two thieves? They were hanging there with Jesus. What did the one thief say? He said, if thou be the Son of God. Remember when he said that? If thou be the Son of God. But what did the other thief say? He said, Lord, remember me. He's the one who met Christ in paradise. He was the one that was believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would get saved. Now, let's talk about a couple more elements of our gospel here. The gospel of the grace of God has four emphases, and we want to keep these in mind when we're witnessing to people. Number one, the grace of God. Now, has there been grace throughout the Bible and God has given grace out? The answer is yes, but our gospel emphasizes the grace of God, and we're not doing anything to earn it. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us it's a free gift. Titus 3:5 says what? not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration, which happens the moment that you believe. 1 Corinthians 12:13 in Colossians. We're circumcision made without hands. Made without hands. What else does the gospel of the grace of God emphasize? It emphasizes the cross of Christ. Without the cross, there's no salvation. Without the cross, there's no salvation. That's why we glory in the cross. That's why we preach what? Christ crucified. That's why Christ is preached crucified. The third point is the blood of Christ. Let's look so that we can be very clear about the blood of Christ. Let's get Colossians 1:14 in one hand and Ephesians 1:7 in the other. We'll do Ephesians 1:7 first. It says, Ephesians 1:7, it's right after Galatians, chapter 1, verse 7. We'll start in 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, watch this, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. But what was John preaching? The baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Does that sound the same to you? And it's not the same. It's totally different. Now look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. That's right after Philippians. Okay, it's right before 1 Thessalonians. Colossians 1 verse 14. And it says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The blood, brothers and sisters. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Doesn't that tell us that in Hebrews? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The 12 did not know the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Let's look at that so that you're clear on that. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Let's be clear on that so everybody knows that. And by the way, all the way up to, we're going to Matthew 16. Do you realize that in John chapter 20, they still did not understand the death, the burial, and resurrection? But they've been preaching the gospel throughout the whole time Jesus was on the earth. If they didn't understand the death, the burial, and resurrection, and it was hid from them, how could they be preaching what we preach? They can't. It's a different gospel. It's different good news. It's different good news. Okay, Matthew chapter 16. Now, we're going to talk about Peter, who has the keys to the kingdom. He has binding and loosing power right in here. This is Matthew chapter 16. They have been preaching the gospel of the kingdom since Matthew chapter 10. Since Matthew, six chapters. They've been doing it already for six chapters. And in 18 he says, I say unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what thou ever shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And then verse 21, from this time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed, and be raised again the third day. Brothers and sisters, that's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And then Peter took him. Notice he said he took him. It sounds physical, doesn't it? And he began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, that this shall not be unto thee. Now, is Peter glorying, getting rid of the glory in the cross? Is he saying, praise God, hallelujah, you're going to die for our sins? That's not what's happening here, brothers and sisters. He's trying to prevent the cross. This is the first pope. He's trying to prevent the cross. He doesn't understand anything about the death, burial, and the resurrection. He understands none of those things about the gospel of the grace of God. He preaches a murder indictment in Acts chapter 2. The 12 did not know anything about it. Now, if they didn't know the death, burial, and resurrection, how can water baptism picture the power of God? They're going throughout the four Gospels, and they're water baptizing everybody. And then you go to the Baptist church, and it's going to say, well, this is going to picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It is? Not according to Galatians 3:26 and Romans 6, 3 and 4. We are to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The same gospel is not preached throughout the Bible. Matthew 6:14 tells us we are to forgive others. By forgiving other people. But we, they're not talking, they don't discuss about the merits of Calvary's cross. You can forgive anybody you want and that's not going to do anything. Nobody is looking forward to the cross, brothers and sisters. You're going to hear that all the time. You can preach the kingdom gospel and not know anything about the death, the burial, and resurrection. Red letter, meaning the Bible, the gospels, is red letter Christianity, and that is performance related. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We glory in the cross. Remember, God is not imputing our trespasses against us now. Do you know that? Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5 said? They're all on Christ right there. He reconciled the world back to Himself at the cross. All you got to do by believing, the moment you believe, now Christ's righteousness is imputed to your account. It's imputed to your account. The gospel is not self-esteem or turning over a new leaf. Salvation is not a modification of your behavior. Or is it being good? It's about a personal relationship with a personal Savior. These seeker-friendly churches, isn't that amazing that we are told no one seeks after God. There's none righteous, no one. There's none that seeketh after God. But then you've got 10, 15, 30, 40,000 people attending these churches, these seeker-friendly churches. Well, wait a minute. If there's none that seek after God, what are they doing at that church? Loud music, drums, and who knows what. It can't be about God. Is God in that? Because there's no one that's seeking after God. The Bible tells us clearly. So when you ask a person, are they a Christian? You say, how do you know? If they say they're going to go to heaven, how do you know? Invariably, you're going to hear people say, well, I try to be a good person. Or I go to church on Sunday. Or this, or that, or the water. Well, I've been baptized. Well, okay. I was too. I was actually water baptized in Lake Michigan with 10-foot high waves. I kid you not. The Baptist pastor had 10-foot high waves, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and he goes, are you ready? I'm like, I guess. it was pretty scary, And of course, you had to have your T-shirt on because, with Baptists, you can't ever have any bare skin showing. Every part of your body pretty much has to be covered up. So we're going to spend a couple of quick seconds here looking at a couple more things, and I will close after that because I think I'm getting pretty close to my time here. Judaism is what the kingdom gospel is about. Christianity is about the gospel of the grace of God. Judaism is based on covenants, Abrahamic, Mosaic, Davidic, okay? We are not related to any of the covenants. We are not new covenant Christians, okay? We are members of the body of Christ, which is something that is a parenthesis in here. You need to know that. There's different names. There's the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of God, the gospel of the circumcision. Whereas we have the gospel of the grace of God, my gospel, Paul calls it. The gospel of peace and his son. The gospel of the uncircumcision. The fundamental principle of the kingdom gospel is this. The law of Moses. And it pervaded every aspect of the Israel living in that theocracy-type life that they lived in. But what's the prevailing thing in that with us? The grace of God. Remember, we talked about that a minute ago. Salvation is by grace, through faith, plus nothing. Christ is presented as the Messiah and King of Israel. The bulk of his early testimony was for the people to repent and accept their Messiah. Christ is the head of the body of the church to us. He is our Savior and Lord. The term head suggests a relationship to his own that never existed. They never talked about the headship of Christ, none of them. Salvation under the kingdom program was faith plus works. And when we say works, by the works, it's an outward manifestation of them proving that they had faith, where we are saved the moment that we believe. Faith alone, Christ alone. We exercise faith in a person. He is the object of our faith. Reconciliation is a Pauline truth that happens at the time of salvation. Remission of sins under their program was by water baptism. Remission of sins is by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for us. Amen? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, did not offer the blood of Christ at Pentecost, did he? I didn't see that in Acts chapter 2. Adding water baptism for the forgiveness of sins slanders the all-sufficiency of the blood of Christ. The 12 apostles did not preach justification by faith. They did not do that. We're blessed with spiritual blessings and sometimes physical, but their blessings mainly, first, were always physical. They had signs and miracles and wonders as part of their thing. Their gospel was a social gospel. It was meant to reform society. Our gospel concerns individuals. We're not to reform government and society. We are to see individuals get edified and saved. Judaism is a national message. Christianity is an individual message. Today, God is saving individuals. Everybody's been concluded in unbelief. The question is, what is the gospel? So let's sum it up right now. You are saved if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You must believe that your sins were placed on Him at Calvary. You must believe He shed His blood to take away your sins. And you must believe that He died in your place. And you must believe that He genuinely died physically and that His body was buried. And that same body that died and was buried came up from the dead. You are counting on His death, His burial, and His resurrection to get you to heaven, and you are counting on nothing else. That is New Testament salvation. I thank God for that. We could have went into all kinds of aspects, different scriptures. You could preach 5 different messages on what is the gospel. I hope this has been a blessing to you, at least to give you some clarity as to where the gospel is. And I just thank God for it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there was some blessing received by the people in the church today, Lord, that You were glorified and praised, Lord. And it wasn't about me. It was about Your word, Your spirit. Please, Lord, if there isn't a person, if there's a person here, Lord, today that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, we pray, Lord, that this would help them to have an understanding that they need to realize that we're all sinners, and the only way that we can have a relationship is to place our faith in Christ and the completed work that He did on the cross at Calvary, Lord. Thank God for Calvary, Lord. Thank You, Lord. While we were yet sinners, You died for us. We're so undeserving, Lord. We love You, Lord, and we just thank You now for all the blessings that You bring into our lives. We may be faithful to proclaim the gospel, Lord, and live our lives pleasing to You as You have instructed us in Ephesians 2, chapter 10. Father, we pray that we have a good week here. We pray that these hurricanes and our country, Lord, we're in a terrible time with our country right now, Lord. We're almost on the verge of a depression, Lord. And we know they don't talk about America in the Bible, Lord. Please give these leaders wisdom, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that if it's your will, this country will at least survive for a little while longer. If not, come, Lord Jesus, come. We thank you now, Lord, for everything in Christ's name.